so many great players, and there's going to be so many great players that aren't going to be part of the 100, and that'll lead to a little bit of controversy probably, but that's what sports is all about. You sit around and you talk about who is the greatest players, who is the greatest teams. But for the guys who are going to be here, and I believe there's 64 because 36 were honored in Toronto on January 1.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of those guys, and I'm proud of the fact that there's five Oilers that are going to be part of that 64, and we're all going to really soak it up and enjoy it, and it's a great thrill for all of us. And we're all just really honored. Each and every guy I've talked to is absolutely thrilled that they got a phone call from the commissioner saying, you know what, make sure you're in L.A. for this weekend. So we're going to have a fun night. It'll be a great weekend.
There's Wayne Gretzky with his old pal Gord Miller, along with Andy Petrillo, who's the host of Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050 in Toronto earlier today. In Los Angeles, of course, the rest of the 100 names, you can go to tsn.ca and see the top players since 1967. And that's quite a gathering. That is, as Danny Gallivan used to describe, a gathering of the clan, the elite of the elite in Los Angeles tonight. Welcome back. It's hour number three. We'll get to the Habs' loss and their trade as well with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. Mitch Melnick with you until 6 o'clock Friday Scrum edition of Habs Lunch, replayed in its entirety between 6 and 7.
Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Dagwood's Bab Sandwich. Ham and pepperoni dressed like you like it. Now only $7 for a large at Dagwood's.
Unlike Pierre LeBrun, who joined us a half an hour ago in Los Angeles, Pierre Maguire actually was part of compiling this list of 100 greatest players of all time. How you doing?
I am excellent, and privilege and honor to say I was part of that. It was an amazing exercise. I took it really seriously. I probably spent 10 days to 2 weeks on it before I flew to Rio. And I told the league how grateful I was that I had the privilege of being part of that committee. It was something that I really took seriously.
And so how gut-wrenching is too dramatic a term, but it must have been difficult for you to just, you know, 100 and put a period and that's it, and you couldn't add a 101, 102, 103, et cetera?
Oh, yeah, for sure, Mitch. You know, it's interesting. Some of them are players that you grew up watching and respecting. I'll use Larry Robinson as an example. I wore number 19 because of Larry. I loved the way Larry played. I remember when he was playing for Nova Scotia Voyageurs. And then here's a good part of the story. I remember coaching in Pittsburgh, and we were playing the Kings, and Larry was playing for the Kings, and they were doing there's a feature article about me in the paper in Pittsburgh. And one of the things they asked me was, why did you wear the number that you wore when you were a kid? I said, because of Larry Robinson, and now I'm coaching against him. So every time he would come by the bench, the guys in the Penguins bench would say, there's your hero, there's your hero. So it kind of makes you appreciate. And just before I came on with you, I was actually talking to Larry and his wife in the hotel lobby before I came over. I'm doing the presentation tonight. I'll have the privilege of interviewing Mario, Wayne, and Bobby Orr, so that should be fun.
That's it? Mario, Wayne, and Bobby Orr? That's it? You couldn't get that's all they left you with?
It's a short show. You know, you can't do everybody. But so that's what they told me I was doing. And
Pierre, you have interviewed almost everybody. You've interviewed the superstars after they've won the Stanley Cup. This is like, this is an all-timer for you. Bobby Orr, Mario Lemieux, and Wayne Gretzky at the same time?
Yeah, when I got the list early this morning, and I started doing radio at almost 4 o'clock this morning because of the time zone change, I got the list and I was like, are you sure? And I called up the producer and he said, yeah, that's what we want you to do. I'm like, oh man, I'm overwhelmed. Thank you very much. I'm really excited about it.
Because Mario, as you know, rarely speaks in public, right?
Well, yes, that's true. Robert Gordon very rarely speaks in public as well. That's for the younger ones. That's Bobby Orr's first two names. And I call him Robert a lot just because I don't know why, but I do. I'm sitting here outside wondering about it. I'm saying, man, oh man, you know, you learn so much over time and it's just amazing to be around some of these people. The hotel lobby today in Los Angeles, Mitch, has been just, if you're a fan of hockey, to see all those names and bodies congregating, and there's no pretense. Everybody's humble and polite and kind and always wondering, not so much about your hockey life, but about your personal life. It's pretty overwhelming. It really is.
Geez, if I knew Mary Lemieux, Wayne Gretzky, and Bobby Orr would be there together, I'd be in that lobby right now. I would have done my show from there.
Don't even go there. you know. After, so here's a good one. After I saw Larry, I saw Nick Lidstrom doing a sit-down with a Swedish journalist. And I came over just to say hello and congratulate him and everything else. And Nicky, if you don't know Nick Lidstrom, probably the most humble superstar player that ever played in the league. Really, truly, one of the most humble men I've ever met. And I think he's just sitting here looking at all these people. And he's going, I can't believe I'm here.
Yeah, he's in awe.
And I'm watching his reaction. And again, I go back to when he played in Västerås, watching him play in Västerås, which is his hometown where he moved back to. And, I just see him, and he's staring at all these guys going, I can't believe I'm here. That's Nick Lidstrom. Can you imagine?
I would have tried to talk to all 64 guys who were there between 3 and 6, or between noon and 3 L.A. time. That's where Pierre Maguire is, and for those who miss it, Pierre did invite me out there to do my show, but clearly I declined.
DeHaan fires a pass. Weber out of position. Tavares walks in. Backhander stopped by Price. So a great eight chance. 19 seconds in. Pass at the goal mouth. They jam away. Price made the save. What a stop with the glove of John Tavares from the left circle. Now down the right side. It is Ladd. A backhand pass for Quine in the slot. It was taken away from him. Goes right back to Ladd. He shoots. It scores. Andrew Ladd from the right circle. Canadians caught watching a little bit. Then it's 1-0 New York. Radulov knocked it down behind the net. It comes back. Weber winds up, fires, and he scores! Shea Weber on the power play. And the Canadians have tied it at 1.
And you can see the result, a 2-on-1.
They score. Quick puck movement. And it's Andrew Ladd again. 2-1 Islanders.
Well, he's right on the edge of losing it there. It's on the back check, and he loses his footing, and he knocks his man down.
A shot, they score. Point shot right off the draw, and Bailey makes it 3-1 New York. That took all of 3 seconds in the Shaw penalty.
All right, so the game itself, you know, Pierre, we talked about this, the danger of too many of the Canadians already checked out for the All-Star break, while the Islanders seem to have got new life since the coaching change and are alive in a battle for a playoff spot.
Well, there clearly was urgency. I watched the game last night, and there was clearly urgency on the side of the Islanders. And, Andrew Ladd has not had a spectacular year. I think Carey would like at least one of those goals back, and maybe two, in terms of Ladd. The Bailey shot's a little bit different. But this was not a sparkling moment for the Canadians. I think you got to get over the hump now. The schedule's been tough. We talked about it since December. Carey hasn't had a lot of practice time, and now it's time for everybody to kind of just get ready for the second half push. Even though we're past the halfway point, I still consider the All-Star break the second half push. And now the games, for the fans that are, saying, okay, well, what's going to happen? If you thought there was intensity the first 45 or 50 games, wait until after the All-Star game, because talking to all the different people here, they're expecting just a drag race to the finish in all these different divisional races.
You were saying earlier that he's always played well against you. You've seen him.
We have seen him. He had some really good games against us. He competes. He's not the biggest guy, but he plays hard and skates well. And again, he's only 23 years of age, so defensemen always take a little longer, and time will tell where his game's at when he gets to be with the Canadians.
Mark Bergeron with Pat Hickey after the game on the acquisition of Nikita Nesterov from Tampa Bay, Pierre.
Solid puck mover, more of an offensive presence than a defensive presence, more of a power play specialist than a 5-on-5 point producer. A lovable guy. The one thing you will see, he's got an engaging smile. He loves being at the rink. He's very popular with his teammates. He takes practice very seriously. Just a fun guy. But to say that he's a shutdown defenseman is a reach. To say he's a top four is a reach. He's more of a 5-6. But his specialty is point production and power play production in particular.
Pierre, you talk about internal competition a lot, and this will probably affect Mark Barberio, Zach Redmond potentially. For those guys, is there some insecurity? Is there some recognition that their role's going to change? What's going through their mind?
Objects in your rearview mirror are closer than you think. And that's the message coming from management on this one. This is, I think this is trying to be a wake-up call for some of the guys that maybe haven't produced to the level that they want. I think of Nathan Beaulieu, who's been up and down, and I'm a big fan of Nathan, but it's been kind of helter-skelter for him. Petrie, same thing, electrifying start, now kind of fallen, then he fell back, then he got up again, then he fell back again. I'm thinking of the offensive guys more than anything on the defensive side for the Canadiens. So this will be, you know, one of those where the general manager is saying, guess what, fellas? We wanted to torque it up just another notch, and that's what they've done. And you'll see. The other thing, I was talking to a friend of mine that runs a team in the league, and he said, why would the Canes do that? I've said, I guarantee you that they've talked to Radulov. I guarantee you they talked to Markov. I guarantee you they talked to Yamalin. And they talked to the Russian players in the team. And I can tell you, this is a very popular guy, and he'll fit in. I think he'll fit in very well with Montreal. I really do.
Well, Sean Campbell did the math almost immediately. The Canadiens definitely have more Russian players on their team than any other one in the NHL.
Yeah, and that's, well, good for Sean for going down that angle, because that's the one thing I told my friend last night from one of these other teams. And I said, you know, I guarantee it. Like, they knew Philip Deneau. I knew Philip Deneau. That's why I was confident in him, and they knew him, because Mark had him in Chicago, and he knew him really well. But it's the same thing. If you're going to go out and acquire a player, and especially a Russian player, you better make sure you do your homework. And I think the Canadiens have been so thorough on this, I credit, again, Mark and his staff for being really smart about all this.
Now, given the fact that we know he's played on both sides, left and right defense, he has a left-handed shot.
Yep.
Based on your description, pure offensive guy, power play, not so much a five-on-five point producer, do you see a guy that he might work well with on the Canadiens' blue line right now?
No, I don't. I see more of a power play fit. You'll see what I talk about. He's kind of a hybrid player. He's one that let's say you're trailing in the game, Mitch Gallo, by two goals in the third period. He's a guy that'll get more ice because you're going to throw him out there to jump into the rush and try to stimulate things. Let's say you have a big face-off play at the end of the second period and you need an offside shot. So let's say the face-off's on your left-hand side of the ice, they're right. He may be in the one-time shooting hole because you got Weber, who's a righty, and then he's a lefty, and then it feeds over to him for potential, you know, shot on goal. So he's versatile that way. But to say that I see him fitting well with a guy in a five-on-five situation, for me, anyways, that would be a reach because I just don't see that with this group.
All right. We have the Friday Scrum edition of Habs Lunch in its entirety between 6 and 7. Melnick, Marinaro, Campbell, Francis, Gallo, and Knuckles.
To not have the respect, the players, I don't care how fucking tired you are.
Not only tired.
You know, we can stick that. And I'm sick of hearing about the schedule and compressed schedule and stick it, you know where.
Another view of the schedule.
But I mean, they're younger. They should be. I mean, when you're young, you play three minor hockey games in one day. No one knows. You eat a burger and then you have some fries and you put a little ketchup on the side and you keep playing. You don't know. No one told you you're tired, so you're not tired. So this is just because now we have all these people working for us. They say you got to eat this and do this and be tired. Forget that. Play the game.
There's your problem.
Well, they're both right. They're both right. But here's the reality of it. We're dealing with different players from different generations than when Christopher played at Catholic Memorial, or when Chris played at Northeastern, or when Chris broke into the NHL or finished in the NHL. And for Mike, it's different than when he was growing up in Saskatoon. It's different than when he was at McGill. You're dealing with millennial players. These guys are different. And I totally, by the way, I'm from the same class as with Nylund and with Babcock. And I totally agree with them. But I'm also telling you, because I'm in the league every single day, it's how I live my life, it is a different league. It's a complete... I won't tell you the star, that he's a young kid. He just walked into the hotel lobby. He had somebody carrying his bags. He had somebody carrying his sticks. He had somebody carrying his hockey bag. All he was doing was walking in, paparazzi there, taking pictures. He was very obliging. He signed autographs. He couldn't have been nicer. But you think that's what happened in the old days? Not a chance. Guys carried their own bags.
Back in my day.
So it's different. It's just different.
Yeah.
And you got to get your head around it.
Yeah. So how is Patrick Kane doing?
Wasn't him.
Okay, I just took a shot there. There's like 300 people there. I just took a shot. Imagine if it was him.
Well, I know.
Yeah,
it was not him.
All right, it's just... He'd be a guy that...
Younger. You got to think younger.
Oh, even younger. Yeah, okay. Okay. Now you're kind of giving it away, but I won't go there.
By the way, yeah. Patrick Kane was drafted in 2007. You better start feeling old.
10 years already, Patrick Kane. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like it's just happened. That's the thing. People are like, well, Crosby's just going in the, you know, crux of his career. Crosby was drafted in 2005. You know, the 2003 draft class, the best draft class in history, if you watch, you know, the other night, Anaheim gets schlumped by Edmonton, Getzlaff and Perry, who were big parts of that 2003 draft class, they did not have good games. Yeah. Those young guys from Edmonton dictated the terms. That's part of the problem now. You know, things have happened really fast here for a lot of these players.
They got schlumped, huh? They got schlumped?
They got schlumped.
Who of all the high-profile media types hanging out in L.A. for the weekend, who is most likely to get schlumped at the hotel bar?
I don't know. I don't go there. I don't.
Oh, you get, yeah, the private NBC room. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Okay,
go ahead.
No, finish your thought. You were going somewhere. Go ahead.
No, I'm just so excited to be in that
I know you are.
The top 100 players. I really, truly am. I can't wait for that.
All right. Well, this guy is definitely not on any list of top 100 players ever, but very similar to a Mark Bergevin made after the game last night in acquiring Nesterov. The Senators reached out and got a depth guy.
Puck picked up, left point, sent to the net, and they score! Frederick Claesson with a seeing-eye shot to the Flames net. Tommy Wingles making his Senators debut, may have tipped it in, and 2:01 into the third period, the Senators get back to within one. It is now 2-1.
Tommy Wingles did, in fact, tip it in. They tied the game. They forced overtime. They lost to Calgary in overtime, but they got a point. They're, as you said yesterday, they're kind of creeping up on the Canadiens. And what'd you make of that pickup by Tommy Wingles?
Solid pickup. The guys that went the other way, Stortini, and Buddy Robinson. Buddy Robinson, 6'6" center iceman, played at Lake Superior. He's got a long way to go. Stortini's near the end. I mean, he fought a lot of hard miles. I think he was brought in there more for their American League team, which also plays in San Jose, just like the big team. And Wingles is a kid out of Illinois that went to Miami of Ohio. He can really skate, but he is a depth forward. He is not a top six. He's more of a bottom six, and I'd say a bottom three. But if he's in your third or your fourth group, of forwards, he can help you because he is versatile. He can skate. He's got good hockey sense. And he's been to a Stanley Cup final last year with San Jose. So there's a lot of good things there with Tommy Wingles. I think that was a slick pickup. Pierre Dorion Jr., a lot of people weren't sure what he was going to do as a GM. I think he's done some magnificent work in Ottawa along with Randy Lee. They've made some really significant pro player procurements that have been really solid for their team.
Finishing up with Pierre McGuire on site in L.A. for the NHL All-Star Festivities, All-Star Weekend. Again, we have the All-Star game for you Sunday afternoon at 3:30. All right, final one, Pierre. Aside from a lot of the teams that we've talked about the last couple of weeks who are leading the way in the divisions and conferences, as you project ahead post-All-Star break, which team or teams do you see making a significant move up the standings?
If Toronto makes a trade, I think Toronto's one of those teams that can make a significant move up the ladder. If Philadelphia makes the right trade and doesn't hurt themselves in terms of going forward with young players, they could make a significant move. I still think Tampa in the East can still make a significant move. Trending downward, I'm really concerned about them. St. Louis. I watched them play Minnesota last night, Mitch. That was not good. And we've talked about this for a while now. They have lost their heavy identity that they had forever. And I think that they are very concerned in St. Louis. I would not be shocked to see them be one of the most aggressive teams going forward in terms of trying to tweak their team before they get to the trade deadline. Because they may get to the trade deadline and already be out of a playoff position. That's the kind of trouble they're in St. Louis.
Please say hello to Bobby Orr, Wayne Gretzky, and Mary Lemieux for me.
How about Larry?
Oh, and of course Larry. But Larry I talk to occasionally. Those guys I never get a chance to talk to, you know?
Well, I will definitely do that with pleasure.
No, you won't.
I will. And you know who else is here? Monsieur Cornoyer. I can't wait to see Yvonne. I saw him in the lobby, actually.
So, how is this going to go down, the introduction? The
I
actual?
Don't know. I have no clue. This is the best guard. The only thing I know is what I was asked to do.
Yeah.
The rest of it is like a closely guarded secret. I'm not kidding you. I have no clue what else is happening.
All right. But John Hamm is the host for the event.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a Hollywood deal. We're in L.A. So.
You're in L.A. But, I'm not.
Yes. Well, you wait a second.
Yeah.
You could have been. You chose not to come.
I am second-guessing myself right now. Have a great weekend, Pierre. I know you will, and we'll do it all again on Monday.
I look forward to that. Thank you, my friend. Thanks for an awesome week, everybody. Mitch Gallo, Rod Francis, yourself. Thanks for a great week, and everybody enjoy their families this weekend. Take care.
Well, they're trying to ride it out, and the problem they run into here is that they made a commitment to Jake Allen. Now, Jake Allen's on hard times right now, and he hasn't played for quite some time. So you can say, well, the Blues need to go out and trade for a goalie, and I'm not saying they won't, but when Jake Allen's new contract kicks in next season, a four-year deal at over $4 million a year, your hands are tied a little bit in terms of what your remedies are.
Further, what Pierre was saying about the St. Louis Blues, Bob McKenzie of TSN on the morning show with Connor McKenna, Sean Starr, and Sean Coleman this weekend for Rick Moffitt again.
That's second guessing.
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire.